Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So I want to invite you in this morning to our annual church or covenant renewal Sunday. And so let me just kind of walk through the message today with you. I'm going to get to talk about Star Trek. I'm going to get to talk about frogs. So I'm kind of excited. So we're just going to dive in, all right? So first of all, church membership, there's four distinctives to that that we look at. So church membership is biblically based. It's spiritually encouraging. It's socially necessary. And it's mission-centered. We really believe that church membership is taught from the pages of the New Testament, the importance of joining with a local body of believers, of submitting to the spiritual authority of that church and of its leaders with the intention of building up the body of Christ, understanding what your gifts are, learning how to serve, and then being discipled so that you can minister to your neighbors and also reach the nations. Now, we are all part of God's kingdom. And so when we say be the church to our members, we are not saying, hey, go be North Star, because that would be absurd. North Star is just a small blip on the screen of God's church across our world today. And so when we say be the church, we're intentionally meaning not just be the local church, but we mean be his body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. So here's how another establishing his kingdom by sharing his gospel together. We do it together. We share the gospel in community. And so we don't see ourselves as isolated believers, as individuals, but we see ourselves as his church. So last year at our Covenant Renewal Sunday, I got to stand up and talk about the theme of harvest. And so we had this theme of harvest last year, and we were reminding ourselves of what a unique time it is for us as a local church. You might remember that last year was 2021. I know, do your math. We had only been in this building for about a year at that point. And so for those of you who don't know and you're new, our very first Sunday in this building was Easter Sunday, April 2021. And so it had been so interesting. Well, I guess we'd only been in here for about 6 months last year, right? Let me do my math. And so as we're looking forward to all that God has been up to and all that God has been doing, we wanted to remind ourselves of the theme of last year, of harvest, of the importance of looking at Blacksburg and Christiansburg and the New River Valley. This is our place that we live as missionaries of Jesus Christ, that we want to be good neighbors, but we also want to remind ourselves that we're missionaries. Being a church member means being sent. It means seeing your neighbors and your coworkers and your classmates and those that you interact with in the community, seeing them as potential followers of Jesus Christ. And that means that our mission must be fueled by love. The way that we communicate, the way that we interact is one of graciousness and respect and honor and esteem, because every human being has been created in the image of God. And so we celebrate everyone's distinctive individuality, but Scripture also teaches that every person must acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And so the way that happens is through the testimony of my lips and the testimony of your lips as well. And so the best way to share your faith is when your own heart is bubbling over from gratitude and wonder and compassion. And so if you don't like telling others about what Jesus has done in your life, perhaps you yourself need to be reminded and to have a heart check. Because it's easiest to share your faith with someone when you yourself are sharing it from this place of absolute thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for you. When you're sharing it from a position of humility, that you're not better than anyone else. When you're sharing it from a position of compassion, you genuinely want them to know the hope and the rescue and the forgiveness and the salvation that's found through faith in Christ Jesus. And so last year we framed up this task of harvest as the joy of making disciples with an attitude of humility, respect, and compassion. And we've been in a series on Revelation. You may realize that. We're going to be jumping back in next week, but this series on Revelation actually looked at the ultimate harvest. And so there's a sense of urgency for us because in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, the ultimate harvest is this. It says, "Then I looked," this is the Apostle John, "there was a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man was seated on the cloud with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple crying out in a loud voice to the one who was seated on the cloud, 'Use your sickle and reap, for the time to reap has come, since the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" This is the ultimate harvest. This is the time in the end when God will reap planet earth. And those who follow Christ Jesus will be ushered into their reward. And those who have ultimately rejected Christ Jesus will face eternal punishment in hell. So that was last year's theme, was reminding us if we're going to be the church together, we must continue to look upon our local fields and the fields of the world as ripe for harvest, of sharing our faith with joy and humility and love and compassion to everybody that we meet. Well, this year we're going to look at a little different theme, and I want you to look at Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. And we'll build from this verse, or verses. But the context of this is Paul is in the city of Troas, and he has been on his way back to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. And after he's arrested, he's going to be taken to Rome. And so these are the final days of Paul's final missionary journey. And he gets to Troas, and he's going to stay there for 7 days teaching the Christians in Troas. And this is the last day that he's there, and it's like this cram session. He doesn't want to leave them with any question marks. He wants to try to respond to questions, and he wants to equip them and train them. So this is what happens. It says, "On the first day of the week," which would have been the Lord's day, it says, "we assembled to break bread. And Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Now there were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on talking. When he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story, and he was picked up dead." Let that be a lesson to you. When there's a long sermon, don't fall asleep. "But Paul went down, bent over him, embraced him, and said, 'Don't be alarmed, because he's alive.' And after going upstairs, breaking the bread and eating, Paul talked a long time until dawn." I figured, you know, Paul's like, okay, everybody's awake now. I'm going to keep on teaching. And so he just teaches the night through. It says, "Then he left, and they brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted." So tongue-in-cheek, this year's theme is wake up. Wake up. And that's not because your favorite preacher preaches 50-minute messages sometimes. But it's because of where we are in our life and our culture, where Western society is, what the currents are. We've been teaching through Revelation, and we've been learning to identify the signs of the times and learning that we must interact with our culture in a way that is compassionate and gracious, but also that we must be able to stand for truth and identify righteousness and holiness. And so it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to wake up. So what Paul was communicating to these Christians in Troas was he was communicating to them that these days that they were living in were significant. And Paul wanted Christians to know and to understand doctrine, which just means biblical teaching and instruction. He wanted them to understand how to live and to speak and to relate in order so that they could stand strong, make disciples, and live with joy and boldness and without fear in a culture that often was in opposition to them and was changing a lot in their day. And so I thought as we renew our covenants together today and looking towards 2023, it's a good idea for us to have a theme of wake up as the church. So let me walk us through some of what this may mean, because these are also significant days for us. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and we're going to spend the rest of the message kind of reflecting back on this particular passage. But Ephesians 5, 1 through 14, it ends with a quote from the Old Testament instructing God's people to wake up. But let me read the context of that. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So live as children of light. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And so what are the practical items that Paul lists here in these verses that Christians should wake up and avoid? What are some of those things? And so you might be able to identify some of them in culture, but here are some things that Paul instructs us as Christians to wake up and avoid. Number one is there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality among us. That's the NIV translation. CSB says it shouldn't be heard of among you, but NIV says there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality among those who follow Christ Jesus, or impurity, or greed. It's a little bit awkward living in a Western culture that every time we have a red bubble pop up on our phones, we've got to upgrade, and it convinces us we need to upgrade everything in our lives, right? There shouldn't be obscene or foolish talking or crude joking in our speech, media, or music. Paul says that these things are unsuitable. And then he says that all of these things are idolatry. Why does he say that? He's simply saying that if it's difficult for you to give up sex outside of the bounds that God has prescribed for it in marriage, if it's difficult for you to not compromise with the world and thus you may find yourself impure, if it's difficult for you not to be materialistic or greedy, what you're actually revealing is what you worship, right? And so Paul's saying a presence of these things in your life on a consistent basis reveals that there are idols in your life. And then finally, he instructs Christians to not be deceived by empty arguments. So if we're going to wake up in 2023 and if we're going to do a sober assessment of where we are as followers of Christ so that we may reveal and reflect Jesus and live compassionate, joyful, bold, humble lives, we must understand the importance of waking up. He's simply saying it's very easy to be stirred into the pot that you're in. Now, American culture is famous for being called the Great Melting Pot. Y'all probably were taught that in civics, right? So the Great Melting Pot, that phrase actually came into existence in the 1780s. But it became popularized because of a Broadway play that was written by Israel Zangwill in 1904. And the Broadway play was simply called The Melting Pot. And it was a story about a Russian Jewish immigrant who came to America to escape ethnic cleansing in his homeland. And once he got to America, he found love and acceptance and belonging. And all the differences between his ethnicity and his new home culture kind of melted away, and that became the new norm. And that play was a massive hit. In fact, it received the praise of then President Theodore Roosevelt. And so the melting pot analogy entered into American language, reflective of our desire that we receive immigrants from across the world. And indeed, America became one of the most popular destinations of people wanting to move from their countries. And instead of embracing multiculturalism, like some other countries have, saying any culture that you bring with you, you can preserve your own culture, America from the beginning was a melting pot in the sense of you can retain and respect the heritage and the customs and the culture of country you're coming from, but we have a culture here in America that we want you to melt into. We have holidays that we celebrate. We have a language that's central. We have customs. We have mores. We have ways of doing things that are distinctly American. And so people are not necessarily encouraged to forget who they were, but they enjoy their experience in America all the more as they're able to celebrate with us and join into our cultural distinctives. But we've got to ask ourselves in 2022 and looking forward, what happens for Christians living in a culture when that culture goes south, when the culture begins to shift and change? How should Christians respond? In fact, what do you do when the culture is aggressive about absorbing you into it? And some of you know where I'm going with this. When culture becomes a little bit like the Borg. So let me let you watch this quick video clip. And no, I didn't design the whole message around this.
You will be assimilated.
I am Locutus, a Borg. Resistance is futile. Your life, as it has been, is over. From this time forward, you will service us.
You will be assimilated.
Resistance is futile.
We are the Borg. Lower your shield and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Now, I know all of you are going to go home and like start binge-watching Star Trek The Next Generation. I know you're just feeling it. So the quote in this last scene, it says, "We are the Borg," which was this alien species that basically absorbed all other beings and made them Borgish. But it says, "We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile." What do you do when culture becomes like that? What do you do when culture becomes like a Borg, saying you've got to believe what we believe, you've got to act like we act in order to be accepted, in order to get ahead? You've probably all heard of the frog and the kettle analogy, right? So there's a cute little frog picture you'll see up on the screen behind me. What do you do to cook a frog? You're like, oh, that's kind of a downer. Well, if you throw a frog into a boiling pot of water, he's going to jump right out. So you put a frog into a kettle and you slowly turn up the temperature. And that frog in the kettle illustration has been used numerous times just to illustrate the power of a Borgish antagonistic culture to those who might have a different culture or maybe even have a different kingdom that they live in. If before you realize it, things have changed around you and the water is boiling, and if you don't get out, you're going to die. And so it's a call to believers in a lot of ways. And I appreciated what one writer said about this frog in the kettle illustration. He said, you know, you can always tell if things have changed if you drop a historical figure into your current culture. So if you dropped historical figures into our current culture, you could drop Abraham Lincoln into our current culture, and he would react violently to it. If you drop Martin Luther King Jr. into our current culture, he would react violently to it. Heck, if you drop the reformer Martin Luther into our current church culture, he'd be alarmed. If you dropped Jesus into our current culture, he would probably turn over that boiling pot of water onto the head of his church and say, wake up. Wake up, understand the signs of the times and where you're living in. See, Jesus reminded us and reminded his disciples that his kingdom was not of this world. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus is on trial before Pilate. And this is what he says to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Three different times he says, my kingdom is not of this world, which means that we who are going to follow him into a kingdom and live currently in a kingdom with different values and a different king. And in John chapter 17, verse 14, this is Jesus' prayer the night before he's on trial with Pilate. And he says to the Father, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So it's a reminder to us in 2022 and 2023 as a church, as members renew their covenants today, that let's remember our unique, beautiful distinctiveness as the body of Christ. We're called to be light, called to be salt. And as you look back at Ephesians chapter 5, there are some things that we are to wake up and avoid, but there's also some things that we're to wake up and embrace. And we pull this from the rest of Ephesians 5. It tells us in verse 1 that we should be imitators of God, that we should model our life after the life of Christ, that we should walk in love. Don't partner with the compromised. Walk in light. We're told that we should test things to understand and discern and see what pleases the Lord. And we're called not to participate in darkness, but rather to expose darkness. And the way that you expose darkness is you just turn on the light. You just shine light on darkness. Paul echoed some of this same instruction about waking up and our distinctiveness as followers of Jesus when he wrote to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 12. He said this, besides this, since you know the time, it's already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is near, so let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So our membership here at North Star is meaningful And that's why we have covenant renewal every single year, is we don't just want this membership roster, like you join the church, and so then your name is on our membership roster for as long as you shall ever live, or unless you join another church. But we remind ourselves with covenant renewal that we're on mission together, and that membership is meaningful. And it's another encouragement for those of you who are new and may be considering church membership. If you join next month, you know, you'll be about the same age as the church members the rest of us. But it's meaningful at North Star because North Star members do more than just show up. We used to have an elongated mission statement besides just be the church, but the first part of it was don't just go to church. Be the church. And what we meant by that is this: being the church is not just attending church or showing up for religious activities and events and Bible studies, but being His church is about being involved in our culture, in our community. John 3:16 reminds us that God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And if we're not careful, sometimes it looks like Christians hate the world. And we withdraw and we form our subculture and our Christian bubbles of security and isolation. It's really hard to be salt and light for people who desperately need hope and forgiveness and rescue and purpose and compassion and love from the Lord Jesus Christ when we're not involved in people's lives. And so it's not just about showing up. D.L. Moody, who was a famous evangelist, said this: church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood is to a sick man. Indeed, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the writer of Hebrews urged Christians to remember the importance of gathering together weekly. He says, we should not neglect gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So membership is meaningful when we serve Jesus together, not just when we come in and out of gatherings as individuals or as families and go our separate ways, but when we encourage one another, we serve one another, and together we seek to impact Blacksburg and Christiansburg and the New River Valley and beyond. So on the one hand, I think this message reminds us that we must wake up and be alert and strategic about how we relate with our culture. We should avoid the Borg. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, which is after the verses I read to you earlier, says this: pay careful attention then to how you live. Christians, pay careful attention to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So on the one hand, we need to be alert and aware and strategic, but on the other hand, before you start thinking, well, I've got to become this radical Christian and sell everything I have and move to so-and-so and live on grasshoppers and crickets. On the other hand, we're just called to live faithful, quiet, gentle lives. And I get this from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Notice the undercurrent and the foundation of prayerfulness. It says, first of all, then, I urge that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings or presidents, and all those who are in authority. So that, why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. He wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, before you start thinking that your life is going to have to, you're going to have to start wearing like a special hat or a name tag or something like that that identifies you to everyone that you're a follower of Jesus, and you got to start talking like John Piper, or you got to start whatever. There's something really, really beautiful about daily faithfulness where you are, about being an ordinary person who is joyfully revealing Jesus. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or have to work on the weekends, a college student, single, married, senior adult, grandparent, widow, wherever God has you in your station of life, there's something really, really beautiful about letting prayer be your foundation and living a tranquil, quiet, peaceful life in love with Jesus. Strategically looking for ways to extend his kingdom and to bless others. So I want to invite you, if you will, to pick this up, and I'm going to walk you through the 5 points of our membership covenant. When I get done, our worship team is going to come and they're going to play. And those of you who are members, you'll come forward. And those of you who are saying, man, I want to be a part of this church family, hold my place at the next Discovering North Star, you can come forward as well. Is everyone at North Star who is a member must have already asked Christ into their life. We are regenerate church membership, which means our church membership is composed of Christians. Sometimes we just need to say that explicitly. Second is having been baptized, and North Star practices baptism by immersion. We call that believer's baptism. And thirdly, in agreement with North Star's values, strategy, and leadership structure. So when you come to our membership class, you'll learn how we're structured, how we're organized. And if you go through it and you're like, oh, this is stupid, I'm going to change a lot once I'm a member, don't do that, okay? We say it right here. We want you to be in agreement with things. And it says, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the North Star Church family. And in doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. Now, before you get really concerned in looking at these bullet points, just to understand the bullet points are meant to amplify the main points. We don't have any like church bouncers standing at the doors on Sunday asking about bullet point 3 under subpoint 2 saying, have you done this week? This is just intended to communicate to you what we mean by the main commitments. And so the first commitment is just this. You'll see it on the screen as well. I will cultivate my relationship to Jesus Christ, obey his teachings, and practice his ways. And simply by saying that is first, but it says that you as a church member take responsibility for growing in your love for Jesus Christ. Philip, who's our youth minister, can't make our youth love Jesus. Our small group leaders can't make the members of their small groups love Jesus. So what this means is you understand, hey, it is my responsibility, and I accept that, to cultivate my own relationship with Jesus Christ. Second is, I will protect the unity of my church and Christ's kingdom. Unity is important. Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 was all about the church being unified. We come together, we agree on things, we seek to not be selfish with one another. But it's not just here in North Star, it's also protecting the unity of his church. We don't talk bad about other churches. We protect unity of Jesus' church. Thirdly, you'll share the responsibility of my church in Christ's kingdom. It's like after you become a member of North Star, you shouldn't say, well, they should do something about this, or they should try this. Suddenly, it's not a they anymore. It's you're sharing the responsibility. It's your church. It's your family. And you say, we should try something new. We should do this. Fourthly, I will serve in the ministry of the church in Christ's kingdom. Is we don't have pews here. And so I can't say we don't want pew sitters, but we just don't want chair sitters. people who come in and come out, and attendance is basically all that ever happens. Is we want to help you identify ways that you can serve within your schedule and your availability, things that you can do to bless others and serve the body of Christ. And fifthly, our church members agree to proclaim the glory of Jesus. This simply means, as a church member, understand that it's not the pastor's responsibility or Matt or Tanner or our worship team or any of our other leaders. It's not their responsibility to share Jesus for me. Jesus is best shared with my friends through me. Jesus is best shared with my family through me. And so becoming a church member, you understand that you're part of building the kingdom of God by sharing about who God is. So I'm going to pray for us, and as I pray, our worship team's going to come, and they're going to play and lead us in worship. And as they begin to play in just a moment, I'll invite you to come forward with your covenants. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We exalt you. We glorify you. We're so grateful to get to be your church, that you have chosen us, that you've loved us. And Father, we want to ask that today you would remind us as we unite together again in membership, that you would remind us about the importance and the significance of waking up and understanding and knowing the times that we live in. Lord, help us to be joyful, humble, faithful, compassionate followers of your Son Jesus, and to reflect your character, your holiness, your righteousness, your truthfulness to a watching world. Lord, give us self-discipline so that we can avoid things that will drag us down with this culture. And give us courage and joyfulness and vision to embrace things that will lift you up and help us to live with victory in this culture. We love you so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.